Thousands of Palestinians protested against the high cost of living in the West Bank city of Hebron this past Monday, angry over rising prices and the government's inability to pay full salaries. Much of the rage is directed at Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad, whom Lebanon's Daily Star describes as, quote, a U.S.-educated economist who oversees the government's finances. The high cost of living was a central point at this past week's cabinet meeting chaired by Fayyad, who says the troubles are beyond his control and has even offered to roll back planned tax increases as a concession. A new United Nations report late last week links the high level of Palestinian poverty to Israeli policies and the recent cutting off of international aid by other nations in solidarity with Israel. Now, a new documentary collaboration between Palestinian filmmaker Imad Barnat and Israeli filmmaker Guy Davidi documents the day-to-day effects of the Israeli occupation, specifically in the West Bank village of Bilin. It tells the story through the lens of a series of video cameras and the youthful eyes of Imad Barnat's newborn son, Gabriel. The eye-opening and powerful documentary, filmed through five cameras that end up destroyed under various dangerous circumstances, is called simply Five Broken Cameras, and it opens at the Lumley Theatres this week. Imad Barnat begins the film by following the nonviolent struggles led by two of his friends, but the subsequent events begin to affect his family and his own life as he witnesses and documents daily arrests, violent attacks, night raids, the burning of his family's olive trees, and the excessive use of Israeli military force. The footage depicts an unsettlingly realistic perspective of the violence in Berlin, where active protests take place daily, and the Israeli occupation continues to consolidate control. Joining me on the phone now from Israel is Guy Davidi, the co-director of Five Broken Cameras. Welcome to Uprising, Guy.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining us. And sadly, Imad Barnat himself couldn't join us. He's currently at a screening of his film in Ramallah. Well, Guy, how important is it for particularly Americans to see this film? And it's not a conventional film. It's a documentary that wasn't really planned, was it?
What we tried to do with this film when we create the Five Broken Cameras.
We're going to have to call you back, Guy. We're having trouble hearing you. We'll try to get you on a better line. We're speaking to him live from Israel, and so the phone is a little bit difficult. But we are trying to talk to him about this documentary called Five Broken Cameras that was filmed on literally five cameras, one after the other, by Palestinian cameraman Imad Barnat, a farmer in the West Bank village of Bilin, who begins to start his journey by filming his newborn fourth son, Gabriel. And as his son grows older, he witnesses the ongoing effects of the Israeli occupation in his village, as well as the encroaching so-called separation wall that ends up taking vast tracts of Palestinian lands and essentially giving it away to Israeli settlers. The film is opening this week on September 14th at the Lumley Theatres. It's called Five Broken Cameras, and we will try to give you more information about where you can watch that. Guy Davidi, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, so let's start over. The film is very unconventional, and I understand it wasn't really even a planned documentary, because Imad Barnat simply began by filming his youngest son, Gabriel, and then it turned into something much more.
Yes. Originally, Imad didn't think to make a film. So he was filming for many years to use the footage and to put it in YouTube and to inform people about the movement, the nonviolent movement in his village, and also to use the footage in court as a kind of an evidence to show because the army tries to show sometimes that people are using violence, and the camera are the only evidence that we have to prove that actually this is not the reality. So for many years he was filming without thinking this would be a film, and his son and his family was something he filmed as a father, like every father where the camera is doing. He didn't think this would be part of the film. And then in 2009, after 4 years that he was filming, he approached me and he offered me, let's make a film. And I actually thought that making a film from just a demonstration and just the violent events that's happening in the village is not enough. and we found all this beautiful material, all his personal family story, and created the story out of this footage as well.
Now, how did you arrive at the decision to tell the story in chapters along with the cameras that Imad used? Literally, each camera tells its own chapter, if you will, in the story.
Yes, I was, since I'm doing, I'm occupied with video and cinema and teaching as well. Then throughout the years, I always received emails from Imad and from other people that were looking, doing some fundraising to find the finance to buy Imad another camera. So I got this email from time to time. And when in 2009, when Imad told me to do a film together, I asked him, I remember you had so many cameras and you lost several of them. So how many did you have in total? So he told me, yeah, I had counted. And he said, yeah, I think I had totally five cameras. And then I asked him whether all these cameras that were broken, was it filmed? And he told me that these were always, the situation were always filmed. So then came the idea to create the structure, because this is a good metaphor of resistance. This is a story of resistance, and the fact that another camera is broken and then he gets a new camera and then another camera is broken and gets a new. This is a bit the life of Palestinians and the life of the resisting the occupation, because you always have difficulties and you suffer and you continue on and on. And for me, it's also a metaphor about making a film in general and the difficulties that you have to confront with, and every time finding solutions to create the film.
Now, Guy, the footage that is in the film shows remarkable nonviolent protests, Palestinians taking up, you know, musical instruments, carrying signs, chaining themselves to the separation wall as it's being built, alongside even international solidarity activists who come and share some of their creative protest techniques. It's a different picture than we get here in the media about the violence of the Palestinian resistance.
Yes, sir, but this is reality that existed for many years in the West Bank. A nonviolent movement is not just something new that just is happening now, and we document it as if it is something fresh. And this is something that was happening for many years. The ability and the fact that more cameras are more accessible to people just allow us to document it, to have a different approach and different narrative to these events. But these events, this nonviolent movement is an ongoing one from the 80s, at least that I know of, and probably much before as well.
Did the camera offer Imad Bernat a sort of a level of protection, because he was able to get so close to so many scenes of danger, particularly when his brothers and his friends were confronting members of the Israeli Defense Forces?
I think sometimes it's the camera can be used to many things to Imad. I think sometimes it gives a sense of protection, not always a real protection. Sometimes it is real protection. But sometimes it's a ticking bomb, because once you take the camera and you're going out to the events, you put yourself at risk. And sometimes the journalist, and especially if people know Imad and they know that he's part of the village, then he becomes a target himself. So it's not always a protection. But it's true that while in all this violent situation, and these are very emotional situations, because all the people that we see that are demonstrating or getting shot, they are Imad's friends and Imad's neighbors and Imad's family. So it gives kind of a sense of an emotional protection, because you put yourself outside a bit of the events, and it gives you also kind of a purpose, which other people who don't hold cameras sometimes can lose more easily. So I think it's more about that than about the actual protection.
Now, the film is also about how children in the occupied territories are affected, because you literally watch his baby, his fourth son, Gabriel, from when he's a newborn and growing up. And through the camera, Imad Bernat, the cameraman, your co-director of this film, Five Broken Cameras, I think starts to reconsider how children view this occupation, how they watch what happens in front of them, and maybe sometimes the invisible traumas that they might be inflicted by.
Yes. I think what is funny about the film and the footage is that this point of view of Jibril came up from the footage itself. I don't think Imad really noticed throughout the years how much these situations are not normal, because this is the normal life of many Palestinian villagers and children. So actually, I think this was part of my contribution to the film, because for me as an Israeli, I had a complete different kind of childhood. I didn't grow up with soldiers and with violence around me. So for me, when I looked at this footage, I thought, hey, there is something going on here, and the kid is growing into something, and this is important, and there's a very interesting and strong point of view. But for Imad, actually, this was normal, because this is also his childhood. So we had to relook on the footage. He had to look at the footage in a new eye, in an eye that says, hey, wait, this childhood, this is not normal for the kid to live around in this surrounding.
And actually, on that issue then, let's talk about your contribution to this documentary. Do you think that viewing it as somebody who isn't experiencing the occupation firsthand, you were able to find these themes that perhaps Palestinians, because they've lived this all their lives, may take for granted and may not even realize is something unusual, something very difficult, and something that's not an ordinary experience for most human beings?
Of course, but not only that, I would say also that because this is a movement, a community movement, it's a movement of a village and of several villages, and also it's a movement, a national movement. So it was very hard for Imad to accept and to agree to tell the story from a personal perspective and to go into all these intimate details of his life and show his family and his wife and all the internal relations in the family that are results of what is happening outside. So for him, it was very difficult because he said, what are my neighbors are going to say? I took all this historical events to tell my story in it. And so my role, one of my main role in the film was to encourage him to show himself more and to expose himself and to tell the story in such a way that mixes between what's personal and what is intimate and what is external and social and this big historical event.
How does this film stand out within the pantheon of documentaries that have covered the Israeli occupation of the Palestinian lands and territories? I mean, this is a topic that endless documentaries have been made about. How is this one different?
Yes, the first, when first Imad offered me to do the film, my first reaction was, is there another reason to make another film about the same subject? So, but I thought that the fact that he filmed throughout so many years, he filmed 5 years, and he filmed after I joined the project as well, 2 more years, so was covering 6 or 6.5 years of this big historical movement that is very important in Israel and Palestine, and is very known in the world, and the fact that all of this historical events, Imad allowed us throughout this event to show a very intimate moment that we've never seen in Palestinian films, from a Palestinian point of view, from a villager's point of view. Also, he's not coming from a cinema background, filmmaking background. He's a character, part of the village. So it gives us a very intimate look of what the result of the occupation and. Also, films are not about the footage itself and the events. It's also about the storytelling. And what we really try to achieve in this film is also to find the right emotional tone in which we didn't want to accuse Israelis or to accuse the soldiers, to put the blame on anyone. So as a viewer, even if you're coming from not the opinion, the left liberal opinion in Israel or in any other place, and watch the film, you don't feel accused. And you don't also feel that there is an idealization to the other side, to the Palestinian, because we didn't try to let people feel pity towards Palestinian and their suffering. So the idea was to kind of find a new emotional pattern, a new emotional trips, I would say, throughout the film. And this is what makes the film fresh and new, I think, for all audiences, even audiences that are much more used to watch these kind of films. Hmm. Not just their audience that rarely watch this kind of film, but we say this kind of film.
Well, finally, Guy Davidi, has there been a response in Israel? Has the film been viewed in Israel?
Yes, this is actually quite a big success in Israel as well. We had the Israeli television of Channel 8that showed the film, and they really love it. They show it in many reruns in these days as well. And the film also participated at the Jerusalem Film Festival, where it got the Best Documentary Award. So it got a lot of recognition as well. In that sense, and it's going out as well in theatrical release in Israel. So there's been a good reaction to the audience. Of course, we have still a long way to do, because we have to get the film to be shown in communities and in places where people are not naturally going to see documentaries, political documentaries dealing with this kind of subject. So there is a challenge, of course, that lies beyond showing the film in festivals and in small cinemas.
Well, Guy Davidi, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and wish you and your co-director, Imad Bernat, the best of luck with this documentary. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Guy Davidi is the co-director of the documentary Five Broken Cameras. And Imad Bernat, co-director and cameraman of Five Broken Cameras, was not able to join us. He's currently at a screening of his film in Ramallah. The film is opening on September 14th at Lemley's Monica Fourplex in Santa Monica. That's at 1332 2nd Street in Santa Monica. The film was reviewed favorably by the New York Times, among many other publications. The New York Times called it a chronicle of protest and endurance, punctuated by violence and tiny glimmers of hope. For anyone who retains an interest in the human contours of the situation, the movie is necessary, if difficult, viewing.